Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Kufte Vavam and Aleph, six lines down. Torah Banan. The Pasuk says in Dvarim, Lo tovo opito lavot avuto. If you look in the Pesukim there in Dvarim, it says, Ki tashe bireacha mashat me'uma. So when you have a loan outstanding with them, Lo tovo opito lavot avuto. You may not go into his house to take collateral. B'chutz tamod, you have to stand outside. Ish asheta no shebo yutzi alecha tavot achutza, an individual who is obligated to you, meaning that he's the debtor, he will have to provide the collateral. He'll bring the collateral out to you. So the Gemara says over here, Lo tavo beito lavot avuto leveito yata nichnas. You are not permitted to enter into his house. Aval ata nichnas leveito shel arev. But you are permitted to enter into the house of a guarantor. I mean, the restriction of entering into the house only applies to a debtor and not to a guarantor. V'chen hu omer. The Gemara brings a proof to that from a number of psukim in Mishlei. First of all, the pasuk in Mishnei says, Lakach bigdo ki arev zar. A Rav Zar, right? You would take his clothing, you will take his shirt, because he guaranteed someone a stranger. Because he's the guarantor, you are permitted to go ahead and take his clothing, you are permitted to go and take collateral from him. V'omer, and also says in the Psukim in Mishlei, in Perek Vav, Bini, Ima Rav Talareacha, if you became a guarantor to your friend, Takat Lazar Kapecha, you've given your hand to a stranger. No kashto bimrei picha, you were trapped by the words of your mouth. No kato, you were ensnared bimrei picha with the words of your mouth. Asezot efo, therefore you should do this. Bini, my son, behinatzel, to be saved. Kivata bekafrei acha, when you are caught or in the clutches of your friend. Leich hitrafes, be humble, urahav reacha, and placate him. So the Gemara divides up the advice of this pasuk, that there are actually two problems in the pasuk, and the pasuk provides a solution to both of them. If you have money with this individual, then open your hand and pay. Meaning that if you owe money in this instance because you are an arev, you're a guarantor, then open your hand and you have to pay. Meaning that if you were a guarantor to someone, and now you became obligated because of that guarantee, you must open your hand and pay. Vim lav, if not, I mean, it's not a monetary issue, but rather that you got caught, no kashta bimrei ficha, no kata bimrei ficha, that you caused, the problem was caused by what you said. I mean, it wasn't a monetary issue, but rather it was an issue of honito bidvarim, that you said something unkind or improper towards the individual and you offended him. Then, harbe alav reim, then you should bring lots of friends in order to placate him, meaning you should apologize and do tshuva and ask forgiveness from the individual. So again, over here we see that if you're an arev, right, then you are trapped, meaning that in a sense, if you guarantee or you are a guarantor, you must pay the money. And therefore, the pasuk says, in the case of bni meravta lereacha takat lazar kapecha, what's the solution to that? There, the Gemara says, kivat b'karfecha lech hipes, I'd open up your hand, loosen your hand, and in that case, pay the money. But in the case where the problem is no kashta bim prificha or no kata bim prificha, then urhav reacha, bring lots of friends and try to placate him and ask for forgiveness in order that he should feel good again about you. So if we here see from these two psukim in Mishlei that the obligations of a guarantor are different than that of a debtor. Then when it comes to the guarantor, number one, right, you're allowed to go in and take collateral from him, but we don't worry. There's no mitigating factor based on the pasuk that you may not enter into the house, but you're allowed to go in and take your collateral. And number two is that if you are a guarantor, you must pay. So now the Gemara says, Letzad Sheni. Letzad Sheni means like Davar Acher, another way to explain this, Leveito. What does it mean when the Pasuk says that, Lo Tavoel Beito, Lavot Voto, what does Beito come to exclude over here? The Beito, Ata, Iata Nichnas, Aval Ata Nichnas, Leschar Katef, Leschar Chamar, Leschar Pundak, Leschar Dion Kaot. That means that you may not go in when it comes to collection of a loan or an outstanding debt. You may not enter into his house to take collateral, but you are allowed to go into his house when it comes to getting paid, meaning if you were a carrier, if you somehow were a schlepper for this individual and he was supposed to pay you, right, or the schar chamar, or if you were a long distance courier for this individual, again, and he owes you money for this, he owes you your schar, the schar bundak, if he rented out, right, a place to stay, or he rented out the entire motel, then he owes you money for this, or the schar duyun kaot, or if you did painting in this house, all of these cases where it's a schar, where it's compensation, then you are permitted to go in there to get your money or to take collateral. Once it changes from compensation to being a loan, meaning that once he says, listen, I owe you this compensation, stipulation, let's make it now, it'll make into a debt because I can't pay you right away, then you're not allowed to enter into the house. Tamalomar masat mi'uma, that any type of credit or form of credit, you may not enter into the house. So therefore, when it comes to credit or any, if he's a debtor, then you are not permitted to enter into the house to take the collateral. On the other hand, if it's compensation, then you are permitted to enter into the house. All right, Mishnah. Next Mishnah. Almana ben shi aniya ben shi ashira eme mashkanin ota. That an aniya, whether she's poor or rich, we do not take collateral from her. Shenemar lo tachvo beged almana. So the pasuk says, and it seems from the pasuk that it would be limited to an almana. And that's the pasuk in Dvarim Chavdal. It says lo tateh mishpat gir v'yatom velo tachvo beged almana. So from there, it sounds like you cannot take the beged almana. You cannot take that of an almana, of a widow. Sounds from the context of the pasuk over here, right, that it's lo tateh mishpat gir v'yatom, that these are the downtrodden, those that have difficulty in society, and therefore lo tachbol beged almana. So it sounds from the pasuk that maybe, or you could suggest that it only applies to an aniyah. Here the Mishnah comes to tell you whether she's an aniyah, whether she's a shirah, there's a restriction against taking collateral from an almana. So Tana Rabbanan, Almana ben shi aniyah ben shi ashirah, in mashkinu ta'adiv Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who's the author of our Mishnah, says doesn't matter whether she's rich or poor, you may not take a collateral from her. You may not take a beged from an almana. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ashirah mashkinu ta'aniyah ein mashkinu ta. When it comes to a rich woman, then you can take a mashkon. When it comes to a poor woman, then you may not take it. Sha'ata chayav lachzir la. Because if she is a poor woman, then once you've taken the collateral, you're going to have to return it. Because that we learned from the earlier psukim, ish anihu lo tishka ba'avoto, ashev tashiv lo et avot, kevoa shemesh. Right, that every time you have to go back and return the collateral to the individual when they are poor. So over here, when she's an ashira, you take it once and then you keep the collateral until she pays the loan. On the other hand, when it comes to an aniyah or an almanad, if you take the collateral, then each day you're going to have to go back and return to her, in and out of her house. And then you're going to give her a bad name. Now people are going to be suspicious of the fact that you're going in and out of her house all the time. Here she is a single woman, she's a widow, and you're entering her in and out of her house all the time. So Gemara says, Lememra, from this it seems, the Rabbi Yehuda lo darish time of the Kra. The Rabbi Yehuda doesn't look at the reason behind the lav in the Pasuk. But Rabbi Shimon darish time of the Kra. And Rabbi Shimon does look, because they premise their lav or their understanding of the lav based on what they think the reason for the lav is. Or Rabbi Shimon does, based on the reason that he thinks there is for the lav. Vayib chashminim lahu, then we hear just the opposite. The Tanya ever braised, lo yarber lo nashim, when it comes to appointing a king, right, it says when we appoint a king in Devarim, Perak Yud Zayin, that the king says lo yarber lo nashim, that he may not have too many wives, velo yasur levavo, so they will not draw his heart away from Hashem, because of his zahav lo yarber lo mod, and he shouldn't have too much wealth, gold and silver. So now, when it says lo yarber lo nashim, Yehuda mer mabehu, that you're allowed to have as many wives as you want, uvaj lo yimisirot et libo. The Kavasuk tells you clearly, lo yarber lo nashim, do not have 10 wives, velo yasur levavo, because they will take him away from Hashem. But if he takes wives, that will not take him away from Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda says he can take as many of those types of wives that he wants, because they are not misirot et libo. Rabbi Shimon Omer afila achat v'hi misirot et libo, even in one wife, and if she takes him off the path of Torah and mitzvot, then he may not marry her. So then what's the restriction of that he can't have too many wives? If Rabbi Shimon says that it doesn't matter the number of wives, if she's misir libo, you can't have her at all, then what is lo yibelo nashim? I mean, he'll never get to that number. So it says, afilu ke Abigail. Rabbi Shimon says that even if they're as good as Abigail, that's a dekis, Abigail, still, there's a restriction of lo yarber lo nashim. So we see in the restriction of taking too many wives for a king, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda seem to have the opposite position. Over there, Rabbi Huda seems to be doresh time of the kra. The reason of the pasuk is shelo yasir libo. And therefore, Rabbi Huda says, if that's not present or that factor is not present, he can take as many wives as he wants. And Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, doesn't seem to doresh time of the kra. And he says, you can't take many wives, even Abigail, even if they're not Misir Libo, there's a cap on the number of wives you may take. Mar says, no, the Olam, Rabbi Huda lo darish time of the Kra. Rabbi Huda's position in general is not to be darish time of the Kra. But Shani Hacha, by a king, it's different than Mafarish Kra. The Pasuk itself gives you the reason. It's explicit in the Pasuk what the reason is. Velo yirber lo nashim, velo yasur. I mean, the pasuk writes explicitly, why shouldn't he have too many wives so that they do not misir libo? My time alo yirbo l'nashim, sham de lo yasur, because of the restriction of lo yasur, so they won't take him away from a kodesh baruch hu. Rabbi Shimon, michte ba'alma d'shina in time of the Quran. Rabbi Shimon believes in general that we are doresh time of the Quran. So lichtov rachman alo yirbe, v'lo binin lo yasur. You don't need lo yasur according to Rabbi Shimon, because that would have been implicit from lo yirbe lo nashim. We would have known that automatically. V'ani yadana, my time alo yirbe, mishum de lo yasur. Had it not written lo yasur, I would have known already that the reason you can't take too many wives is because of the problem of lo yasur. So now, why does the pasuk then go out of its way to state the reason, if the reason we would have been doresh anyway, even if it wasn't written? So lo yasur dechokamana lomali. What does that come to teach you? That gives you an additional restriction, which is afilu achat mesir libo izelo yisana. Even if there's one wife who is mesir libo, it's not bound by the restriction of lo yirbe lo nashim, but it's bound by the restriction of lo yasur. And the restriction of lo yasur applies even to a single or one wife. Okay, next Mishnah. The next Mishnah talks about a pasuk in the beginning of the Devarim Perech of Dalet. Lo yachbol rechaim v'rechav ki nefesh hu chovel. One may not take as collateral rechaim v'rechav. Rechaim v'rechav are two parts to the milling stone, where they used to grind the wheat or any grain and to make it into flour. So you have the rechaim, which is the base, and the rechev, which from comes with rechav, which sits on top and does the spinning or the milling of that which sits in the rechayim that is below. So it says you may not take a rechayim or rechev, and ki nefesh hu chovel, because if you do that, you're taking away his livelihood. So now the Mishnah says, chovel et rechayim over mishum lo taseh. Someone who takes rechayim, meaning that he takes a mill, then he is over the lotase of lo yachvo rechaim v'rechav ki nefesh hu chovel. V'chayiv mishum shnei kelim. Now when he takes a mill, he takes both the rechaim piece and the rechav piece, then he's chayav for each kli separately. I mean, they're classified as two different in kelim. Shenemar lo yachvo rechaim v'rechav. V'lo rechaim v'rechav bilvad amru. It's not just unique. This isur is not unique to a rechaim v'rechav. Elo kol davar shosim bo echol nefesh. Anything that provides the livelihood or provides ochel nefesh for the individual, then you may not take it. Shenemar, because the pasuk says ki nefesh hu chovel, because you're taking away his nefesh. You're taking away his livelihood. So anything that's ochel nefesh is under the same restriction of yachvo rechaim v'rechav. And the Mishnah seems to be teaching us that the pasuk of saying lo yachvo rechaim v'rechav is coming to teach us that a rechaim and rechav are classified as two different kelim over here. Now, Tosos points out that when he says chayav mishum beis kelim, means that afilu you only gave one hatra'ah. Even if you gave only one warning of the lav over here, you still be chayav for two lavin, because that's exactly right. That's exactly what the pasuk is coming to teach you. That even if you just give him one restriction, you're not allowed to take this as collateral, and then he takes rechayim rachav, you're going to be chayav on each one independently, rechayim and rachav. Because if it was that you said two hatra'ot, you warned him twice, then any yisur in the Torah, you don't need it to be two kelim. Even if you say to a nazir, al tishtei yayin, al tishtei yayin, al tishtei yayin, and if he goes ahead and drinks, he'll violate it three different times each time you warn him. And the same will be true here, even by rechayim. Even if you take just the rechayim, if you say to him, don't take the rechayim, don't take the rechayim, if you warn him twice, then he'll be in violation twice. So it can't be that he's giving multiple hatra'ot here, but rather he's giving one warning, and that one warning will suffice to create two lavin or two restrictions here of taking the rechayim v'rochev. And Tosus also mentions over here that we're going to see further on in the Gemara on Kuftet Zayin that it seems to be that this is a lav hanitak lasei, because if you do take it, we say hashev tashiv lo et ha'avot. You have to give back the collateral. So if you take the collateral inappropriately, then you have to give it back. Now it's a lav hanitak lasei. How can you get malchus? In general, we say lav that can be rectified by doing some positive commandment, which means to return the collateral. Then there is no malchut in that case. So why over here is he getting malchut could if it's a lav hanitak lasei? So we have to say, Tosfos says that we have to explain here that when you take this, when you go against the Isur HaTorah, there's a machlokes, we've seen this in other Masechtot, but there is a machlokes whether mahani or lo mahani. When you do something that's restricted by the Torah, is your action a good action, or is it not a good action? So here, the reason that you have to be hashevet avoto, the reason you have to return the avot, the collateral, is not because it's an itak lasei, it's not because it's rectifying the lav, but because there's a lav, because there's a restriction from taking collateral. When you take collateral, it's as if you did nothing. You're not entitled to that collateral. The reason you have to return it is because it's not yours. If it's not yours, you must return it. But that doesn't mean that it's an itak lasei. It doesn't mean that it's rectifying the lav, the restriction that you violated. So over here, what we're going to suggest is that the lav stands alone. Lo If you take it, you're in violation of the Isur, you're in violation of the Lav. Then, if you go ahead and take it, your action doesn't help because the Torah says you may not take it. If you may not take it, then the collateral does not become yours. And Hashev Tashev et Avot, you have to give it back because it's not yours. But you're still in violation of the Lav of Lo Yechbo Rechaim Rechov because the Aseh is not rectifying that Lav. So now we come to a machlokis in the Gemara between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Am Rav Huna, Chaval Rechaim, right? If he took a Rechaim, the bottom part of the mill, Lokesh Shtayim, he gets two Malkut, Mishum Rechaim, one because he took the Rechaim, and Mishum Kinefesh Hu Chovel. Meaning that there's a Pasuk has three items in it. It says Rechaim v'Rochev and Lo Yechbo Ki Nefesh Hu Chovel. Ki Nefesh Hu Chovel seems to be a general term or general restriction against taking anything that is Ochel Nefesh. Now Rechaim is subsumed, is also part of that category. So you're in violation when you take the bottom part of the mill, you're in violation both of Rechaim and Nefesh Hu Chovel. Rechaim v'Rochev, if you take Rechaim and Rochev, you take the lower part of the mill and the upper part of the mill, Lokesh Shalosh, then you get three Malkut. Mishum Rechaim, because the Rechaim, which is explicit in the Pasuk, Rechev, which is also explicit in the Pasuk, Mishum Nefesh Ku Chovel, which is a general lav against taking any sort of Ochel Nefesh. So according to Rav Huna, you actually get three Malkut in that case. Rav Yehuda Amar, Chaval Rechaim Lokachat. If you take Rechaim, right, then you are Loke once, because you violated the restriction against taking Rechaim. Right? V'Rechav Lokachat. If you take a Rechev, then you're also Loke once, because each one is a Lav. It says Lo Yechbo Rechaim and Lo Yechbo Rechev. Rechaim v'Rechev, if you take both of them, Loke Shtayim, then you get two, because each one of them is explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk. Now, Ki Nefesh Hu Chovel, what about Nefesh Hu Chovel? The Rav Huna says you're in violation, you get a Lav, or you get Malkus for that. There, L'Shar Dvarim Hu Da'ata, that comes to include other things besides Rechaim v'Rechev, meaning that the Nefesh Hu Chovel is not a restriction that is above and beyond, meaning that includes also Rechaim v'Rechev. It's anything besides Rechayim v'Rochev. So Lema, let us say that Abai v'Rava beplugted Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda kamiflege. We have a machokes between a Rabbi and Rava. We have it, this machokes, in a number of places. We have it, we're going to see here, it's quoted here from the, and about the Gemara in Pesachim. There's also, in the Gemara in Nazir, there's a similar machloket between Rava and Abai. Now let's suggest that Rava and Abai's machlokes has to do, or is the same as machokes that we just saw between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. We'll explain. How is that? Dama Rava, Achal na lokesh shtayim, that a person who eats something raw. Now this has to do with a korban pesach. But the pasuk by korban pesach says that achlu et basar b'layla hazeh, you have to eat the meat on that night, sli eish, right? It has to be roasted. Umatzot amarim lachlu, and you have to eat it with matzah umoror. Now ad tachlu mimenu na, one may not eat from it raw. Ubashel b'shal b'mayim, or cooked, ki im tzliyesh, but you must have it roasted, roshoch rav el kerbo, right, in the proper manner, all together in one shot. So you have a pasuk that says, don't eat it raw, or cooked, ki im tzliyesh, but roasted. So now, let's see what this is. Amar Rava, achol na, if you eat it raw, lokesh taim, you get two malkus. Why? Mishum na, because it says, mishum ki im tzliyesh. The pasuk continues that you must have it roasted. So it's, ki im tzliyesh. So there's also restriction of just being roasted. Mivushal, if you eat it cooked, lokesh time, you get the same two malkus, one because the pasuk explicitly says bushal, and one mishum mivushal, mishum ki mleish, and then another malkus because it says ki im tzleish, which will also be a second lav. Na umivushal, if you eat it both raw and cooked, lokesh shalosh, you get three malkut, mishum na, because na, which is mentioned explicitly, umishum mivushal, which is also mentioned explicitly, and mishum lo tochlenu ki im tzliyesh, and do not eat it except for roasted, so you have three malkut, right? Abaye Amar, Abaye comes and says, ein lokim alav shiblach lalot, that one is not permitted to, or one does not get malkus for a general lav. So now, I have to explain, first of all, this machlokas between Abai and Rava is found in the Gemara Pesachim, and here, similarly written this way, the Gemara Nazir actually has their opinions flipped, that Abai is the one who says you get three malkot, and Rava is the one who makes the statement, ein lokim ad lav shebechalalot, and the Rambam, when he discusses lav shebechalalot in the Shoresh Chi'i, in the ninth Shoresh, in the Sefer HaMitzvot, when he discusses it, he quotes it like the Gemara Nazir, with the Rava and Abai's positions flipped over here. Now, when we say, ein lokim ad lav shebechalalot, there are two possibilities what Abaya means. I mean, Abaya can mean that Alav Shebechalalot, a lav that includes many different items, meaning that it has na uvimushal b'mayim, and then it has a general ki im bitzli esh, so it has, this lav applies to many different things on many different aspects. There's a possibility you could say that he won't get malkus at all, because ein lokin alav shebechalalot, or The other possibility is ein lokina lav shbechalot means that you won't get a lav, meaning you can't combine. There's only one lav mentioned in the pasuk, which is al tochlu mimenu. So when it says al tochlu mimenu, right, then if you have na or veshel mushel b'mayim, right, then you'll get one malkus. But you won't get malkus kikim sleish because it's a derivative, or it's the reason that you would get a lav is because of the beginning of the pasuk al tochlu, and you're already using the al tochlu for the other item. So the Gemara in Psachim actually has both of those possibilities in the position of a baye. When it says ein lokim alav shvachlo, ikad amre, some say that tarte hu dolo loki, you don't get two malkus like Rava says, but rather, right, chado humi haloki, you still get one set of malkus. You get one set of malkus because, right, there's still a lavim here of al tochlu. So that tochlu can apply to one item, but it can't apply to multiple items. That's what it means, lav shvachlot. Ikad amre, there are those that say, Chada nami lo loki, even one set of malkus you don't get, delo miyached lav e ke lav de chasima, because the paradigm, the binyan av that we use for levin, for a lav in the Torah, is lo tachsom shor bidisho, and there's only one item that is restricted by the lav. Over here, where there are multiple items restricted by the lav, it doesn't look like a normal lav, and since it doesn't look like a normal lav, therefore you will not get malkut in that case, meaning you won't get malkut legamre. So that's the two possibilities of explaining what does it mean, in lokin al lav. Now, based on that, Rashi and Tosfos both explain over here that when it says that Amar Abaye ain't looking at lav shvachalot, means that tarte hu d'loki chadami aloki. They both explain that you don't get two sets of malkus, but you will still get, right, a one set of malkus. If you see in Rashi, it says ain't looking el alna umivushal shein mufrasharim. You only get a malkus on items that are explicit in the pasuk, right? Now, and whereas if you over on the klal and the prat, I mean you're in violation of kiyum sleish and namavushal, then you only get one malkus. You only get one malkus on the klal. You won't get malkus on the prat as well, or you only get it on the prat and not on the klal as well. So you can't get more than one malkus for one item, even though they might be encompassed by the multiple items mentioned here. For instance, na, which is raw, is also not sliyesh. But nevertheless, since it's in one pasuk, it's a lav shebichlalot, you only get one malkus. So both Rashi and Tosfos explain it that way. Although, as Tosfos points out from the Gemara later on, that we're going to explain a baye in Rav Huna, we're going to see in a second, and I'll mention it there, it sounds like you don't get any malkus at all in this position. So now, lema, let us say a baye d'amar k'rav Yehuda, for Rava d'amar k'rav Huna. Right, so let us say that a baye holds like Rav Yehuda, and Rava says like Rav Huna. Because Abaye said over here that ein lokin alav shebichlalot, and so too Rav Yehuda says you only get one set of malkus when it comes to Rechaim v'Rochav. You only get one set of the malkus, but not kinefesh chuchovel. The general principle of nefesh chuchovel does not give you another set of malkut. Now, even though the Gemara said that Rav Yehuda uses nefesh chuchovel for other things, I mean he doesn't include Rechaim v'Rochav. It's obvious that he doesn't include it. May have nothing to do with lav shebichlalot. He just thinks it comes to include things besides Rechaim v'Rochav. Tosfos nevertheless says the Gemara does this many times. Even though we know the reason, I mean in the order that the Gemara goes, we know the reason. Nevertheless, when the question was asked in the Beis Medrash, they did not yet know the reason of Rav Yehuda, that he uses Nefesh Huchovel for other items. And we're going to see that in the answer. But nevertheless, the Gemara asks the question and tries to pair them up. So just like Abaye says, you don't get a Malkus Lav Shebichlalot, so there's a Klau and there's a Prat, there are things that are identified in the Pasuk. You only get a Malkus for the things identified in the Pasuk, not for the general principle of the Pasuk. Abaye says that by Al Techlumen and Na Uvashel Mivushel B'mayim, therefore you won't get Malkus Kehim Sliyesh. And so too we'll say by Rav Yehuda over here, he'll say Lo Yachbo Rechaim V'Rachav, you'll get Malkus for the Rechaim and the Rachav, but Nefesh Huchovel you will not get Malkus for on top of Rechaim V'Rachav. And the other hand, Rava amar to Rav Huna, and Rava is going to hold like Rav Huna. Rava says you get malkus for each item and for the klal, just like Rav Huna says over here. You get malkus for Rechaim and Rachav, and you also get malkus for Nefesh Hu Chovel. So Gemara says, doesn't have to be this way. Amar lecha Rava. Rava says, Ana d'amrei afilu k'Rav Yehuda. I can explain my position even in Rav Yehuda. Ad kan lo kamar Rav Yehuda hatam. Rav Yehuda only explains by the case of Rechaim v'Rachav that you get only one malkus for each item, but not for the klal, because ela dechi nefesh huchovel lo mashma rechaim v'rochev. That nefesh huchovel is not inclusive of rechaim v'rochev, because it says rechaim v'rochev, and then ki nefesh huchovel is a independent item. It's something different. Had you just written rechaim v'rochev, we would have thought that the lav is unique to those items and not including anything else. So Nefesh Hu Chovel comes to include other items. Hilkach the Shard Varim Hu Da'ato. That's why the whole point of Nefesh Hu Chovel comes to teach us about other items that you have a restriction or a lav in them, not just Rechaim V'Rachav. Of a Hocha, in our case, by the case of the Korban Pesach, Ki Im Sliyesh the Mayato. What's the point of having Ki Im Sliyesh? Meaning that there are only three different types of cooking that you can have, or ways to eat the meat. It can either be raw, cooked, or roasted. So if you say you can't have it raw and cooked, then it's obvious that it must be roasted. So when the puzzle comes and says Ki Im Sliyesh, it's obviously coming to add on an additional lav on top of the restriction of not having it being mevushal and not. So the Rebbe says that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to me or my position when it comes to the Korban Pesach. His position is unique too, Rechaim V'Rochev, which there the Nefesh Hu Chovel is not automatically a derivative of Rechaim V'Rochev. We could have said it was unique to Rechaim V'Rochev. So Nefesh Hu Chovel comes to include other things. By Pesach, the items of Na'at and Vushal B'Mayim leave you only one option, and that's Sliyesh. So when the puzzle comes says Kiyim Sliyesh, it's obvious that that's the case, and therefore it must be coming to add an additional lav. That it must be coming from above. Abaye says, I can explain my position according to Rav Huna. That's because Nefesh Hu Chovel is an additional pasuk, or an additional part of the pasuk, which wasn't, we have nothing else to do with it. So since we have nothing else to do with it, came into Yoteru, Shadja Rechaim V'Rochev. We place it also in Rechaim V'Rochev. What does that mean? So Rashi explains that means came into Yoteruhu, since it's an extra pasuk, we don't have any other limud for it. Lav, then it comes to teach you a lav, Bekat Ve'Stalma. And it says, a lav on anything that is ochel nefesh. There's no reason to exclude them from that lav. It's a general lav about any ochel nefesh, and rechaim v'rochav are part of that subcategory, so it'll be a lav on all their items. That's the way Rashi explains it. On the other hand, Tosfos explains that it says nefesh chuchovel in the Korah Yitehu lo tzarech l'shar dvarim. We don't need for our things to shemino lehumi rechaim v'rochav. We could have learnt those out from rechaim v'rochav. It's not two psukim that come together where you say you can't teach them. It's not two different psukim and we say therefore it'll be unique to them and nothing else, because we need them both to be written to teach us the chiddush of the Mishnah that they're classified as two different kelim. Therefore we don't need nefesh chovel to teach us anything else more than you need to teach rechaim v'rochav, because from rechaim v'rochav we could have learned about everything else. So therefore when it comes and you have this extra pasuk of nefesh hu chovel, just like it's not necessary for other items, so too it's not necessary for rechaim v'rochav. Therefore, if you're going to say that nefesh hu chovel applies to other items, then we're going to say it also applies to rechaim v'rochav, and therefore you will get multiple malkut over here. But that's not true by the Korban Pesach. That's what Abaye says. Why? Avahocha ki im tzli'esh lav yateruhu. The ki im tzli'esh we need for another limud. We need it, L'tanya, for the Braisa. The restriction of eating it raw or cooked only applies at a time when you could eat it roasted. But at a time when you couldn't eat it roasted, meaning outside the Zman, meaning either before, if they brought the, you know, when they shechted the Korban Pesach on the afternoon or Pesach, and you can't eat it until nightfall, or after the Zman, when one is permitted to eat it, then, if it's Eino Bekum Achotzli, in those periods when you cannot eat it, even roasted, Eino Bechot Tochel Na, then there is no restriction against eating it raw or Mibushal, because the application of that Isur is only at a time when you could otherwise eat it in a permissible manner, is the restriction against eating it raw or Mibushal. But when there is no permission to eat it even roasted, then there is no restriction of Na Umibushal Bamayim. And as we mentioned before, this is why Tosus thinks that Abaye, in this case, sounds like there's no lav at all, because he says that Rabbi explains the whole reason of Kli Tzli'esh is for another reason. We're using the Braisa to teach us something else from Tzli'esh Legamre, and for Baal Tochel Nuna, it sounds like there would be no Malkus if you're in violation of Ki Im Mitzli'esh. And that would be the explanation of Rabbi that says when it ain't Lokin Alev Shklalot means that you don't get Malkus whatsoever. And where does Rava learn this inyan out? Tosfos mentions, because the pasuk beforehand says v'achlu et basar b'leila zeh tzli'esh u'matzotim rim yachlu. So he'll have a hekesh between the pasuk before of tzli'esh and the pasuk afterwards, which says al tochlu mimenu na'u v'shal mamayim. So then he'll know in that context, the context of al tochlu mimenu na'u v'shal mamayim is b'tzli'esh. And therefore he'll learn it out from the pasuk before, whereas Abaye thinks that's not the case. And Abaye says that I need to use the ki'im tzli'esh to teach me that item. Okay, we'll stop over here.